Game Breaker.
And you know what that means, boys and girls.
It's time for the Jimmy Doan Show.
The Jimmy Doan Show.
You notice how Jack jumps right in there.
I jumped right in there.
He didn't wait for Jimmy to introduce the Jimmy Doan Show. Jack Rhodes here today. Jack is here. That's right. We have the entire compliment here.
That's right. It's good to be live Jimmy.
That's right.
The star of the show.
I've noticed on several of our podcasts, of course, that there's been some mutiny. People are deciding to rename the show. Yeah, I'm not sure I'm too happy about that. Fortunately,
the Counselor Curtis Show.
Counselor Curtis Show. That's right.
Hey,
Counselor Curtis, I think we have some legal questions today.
That's right. Yep. As always,
and Engineer Eric.
Yep.
We call it Eric, of course. I call him the Mix Meister. You have to envision what do I do? I put my finger up to my nose so I look like Hitler and do a Sieg Heil. He's the Mix Meister.
I'm getting some emails from that.
That's right.
DJ Eric.
Well, we're not allowed. I believe we'll probably be banned in France. Don't they have in Germany they have a law that says you can't sell?
Oh yeah, you can go to prison for denying the Holocaust.
You can go to prison.
Yeah.
That's
great. Okay, anyway, so if you're listening over there, go ahead and just turn off the podcast there. Everywhere else, though, we're fine.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, so we're live today. We're sort of live. We're live on the internet.
Right.
We're live right now.
That's right.
Did you open Saturday. Your AOL Instant Messenger?
Oops.
In case people want to text messages in.
Oops. I'll have to see if I... Well, I didn't want to take up too much of our limited bandwidth. We're on a 1,200 baud dial-up line. And I didn't...
Saturday, September 16th, 2006.
Yep. Right, and game day today for
the Gators.
We're going to talk about a couple of things. Let me just go through the list real quick.
Go right ahead. Go for it.
And not necessarily in this order.
Right.
All right, certainly not in this importance. Today is the spinach scare day.
That's right. Throw away your spinach.
Popeye is panicking.
Uh-huh.
Senate bill would check all U.S. bound cargo.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the GOP, the leaders in our legislature are doing marvelous things. The GOP has decided to fight wiretapping restrictions. We're going to talk about that. And Congress wants to expand FEMA. I've lost it. I had the House doing something here. The House didn't pass.
The House is always doing something.
I forgot to put it on the list.
We can add it,
but I'll have to find it. Okay, good.
About that BlackBerry, too?
The BlackBerry. Well, of course, this is our famous, and this actually goes with another article. This goes with the TSA and what a marvelous job they're doing for
us.
That's
right. Don't lose your BlackBerry.
The Russia, China's going to the moon.
That's right.
And then...
Could be a good place for them.
And then we certainly have an environmental update with the shrinking, there shall be no more Arctic ice.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And it's all going to melt.
That's right. And along with that, we have, it turns out, surprise, surprise, another thing is if you buy a green car, and I don't mean British Racing Green, I mean one that...
Immigre? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not. I'm talking about, for God's sake, I'm talking about the Honda, whatever that is, you know... The Honda Hydrogen or whatever they call it. Those cars, it turns out they may be more dangerous than you think and may, in fact, be worse for the environment. Right. That and a lot more. That's right. And, of course, one of the things that I do want to, we're going to chit-chat about, I've been listening, by the way, Counselor, to your constitutional tapes to pass the multi-state bar.
Tapes? Right. What? I didn't use any tapes.
I know you didn't. Right. So in China, of course, they have decided to sentence people. Which is, of course, good. Sentence people by software. They crank in what you've done. No need for a jury or anybody like that. You just put in your name, address, phone number, what you've done, and it spits out your sentence, which, of course, we all know what that is. It's either how do you want to die?
Right.
Sometimes you have a choice. You can either be lynched, hung, eaten by wild rats, or however they do it over there, or be eaten by, you can be... A meal. You know, they eat strange things over there. We mentioned this on one of our things about the horse slaughtering. That, by the way, went down. I think that
they passed that.
I know they passed it in one, and I think that they realized how stupid it was in the other one. I'm not sure. But anyway, that's something else. So here we are. This is great. Live. Instant messenger, right?
So, you can IM us.
Well, you say that.
Eventually
you say that. Right. But is there something up here? I don't use AOL, so.
Oh, well, I don't know. Then
what do you mean? AOL is a big sponsor of Jimmy.
Okay. Anyway, I've got
Jimmy loves AOL.
I just hit the AOL. I just hit the IM button. And it says, "Do you want to send something?" So I haven't. Do I where does it come up? That
I don't know.
Don't worry about it. They'll start flowing in. It'll ring. Okay. So anyway, the spinach scare. I want to start. This normally would be a light note, but it was in the headlines today.
Since it's national news and
it reminds me a little bit of the Popeye scare. It's interesting. You remember Popeye Fried Chicken? They had the Popeye hamburgers? They had hamburger meat. And they had to throw away about 90 jillion tons of hamburger meat because it was contaminated.
Popeye's hamburgers?
Popeye's fried chicken. They found it in one of the fast food restaurants. They found it. And somebody got sick. And so
In and Out? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, no, that's on the porn channel. That's something else.
Ahead of the curve.
That's right. The deal is, though, that they are recommending, this is fascinating, they are recommending that everybody not buy or throw out all of their fresh spinach. No fresh spinach. I mean,
E. coli reasons.
Because E. coli, they had 94 people that have gotten sick.
That's right.
I don't think anybody's died.
Yes, someone has.
Someone has died. Yes, a death.
Absolutely. At least one death.
Well, is this Bender's way to kill all the humans?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's right.
So we're doing a public service by letting you know, throw out your spinach.
Throw out your spinach. Well, of course, the spinach people are not too happy about this.
No.
And
I noticed some of them did do a voluntary recall.
Oh, well, they do that. The private sector always does that. They did that with the
Tylenol.
As soon as somebody, you know, the terrorist person wanted to kill their brother-in-law or something, infected a couple of Tylenol. They had one of these on Law and Order, too.
That was industry changing, and that's when safety sealed and all that came into play.
Right, and that was the reason for it. But I don't know what you can do about the fresh spinach.
It's in a Ziploc bag, usually.
Chuck it.
Well, of course, they say the spinach people are not going to be too happy about it. Think if you've got 47,000 acres of spinach, then you got your
too bad.
Your Mexicanos out there harvesting it,
I don't even know if they've pinpointed it, but it could have.
No,
been
they a, did. They pinpointed they it to a place,
and it is this E. coli bacteria.
They got that part down,
causing stomach problems.
One of the things that always is so germane, I guess you might want to say, and they've just come up with this. In this last week or so, Ted Stevens was putting this double secret hold on this, and this had to do with essentially cost-benefit analysis. Congress never bothers to do a cost-benefit analysis. They are of the mantra for most legislative bodies is, if one life can be saved, then it's worth it.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't matter that it costs billions of dollars. Now, one of the things that one may want to ask, if there's been 90...
How can you put a price on a life?
Exactly. How can you put a price on life? Well, we do it every day, of course. And that's where people lose perspective so often. I mean, there are 54,000 car deaths, a quarter of which are somehow, or a third of which are somehow what they say, alcohol related. But then they talk about somebody dies because a broomstick goes through their ear or something, and they want to ban all broomsticks. But it's the cost benefit analysis is interesting on this spinach thing. I don't think anybody's done it, but I'll bet that one life is going to cost hundreds of millions of dollars, essentially.
That's right.
But they could have saved another one.
They could have saved another one. That's right. Well, this is a classic case of what you see is much easier to deal with than what you don't see. And a case in point has to do with something like the FDA, for instance, when they withhold a particular drug that this shows promise, and they won't even allow, except under very special circumstances, some kind of trials for it. And for 5 years, and you don't know that, and then the drug comes to market, and 10,000 people a year are saved. Well, that means 50,000 people during the last 5 years
just died,
right? Okay. But you don't see them. Nobody ever gets fired. We had a saying in the computer business when I was selling Macintoshes, interestingly enough, which I love.
Way back when,
early Macintoshes. But we had a saying. I was in a store where we sold both IBM and Macs. And had a saying that nobody ever got fired for buying IBM. And same thing is in the government. Nobody ever gets fired for saying no. You come up for any kind of approval in the world, and the automatic reflex answer is no. And nobody ever gets fired for that. And if everything stays the same, then, quote, nobody gets hurt. This is one of I've only heard one politician in my entire life say these words, and that is when you realize that to some extent politicians are a little bit like doctors. I don't mean to demean doctors on this or make it sound like a bad word, but their philosophy, very often Hippocratic Oath, whatever, is first do no harm. Well, governments stroll in all the time, and the first thing they do is harm people, and they don't realize it when they, for instance, select here in town. For instance, we've got an art committee that selects. With taxpayer money, they select the art.
Public art,
right? And by state law, I think, it says 5% of the building construction has to be devoted to public art. This is for the good of the children.
Right.
Well, now, is this spinach ban a government thing, or is this a voluntary recall?
They're involuntary at
voluntary
this point.
Voluntary
at this point.
There's no problem with that, then, from a market perspective, right?
Right. No, again.
They just take the hit.
Yeah. Well, not only that, when you say, one of the things you have to realize is when you talk about voluntary, you have to put that in quotes.
Right.
I mean, the simple fact is, if they didn't do it, there would be legislation immediately to take care of that.
I'd be charged with murder.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Well, they found the major distributor. I think they found out sort of semi where it came from, and they also said that even if you boil it, cook it, steam it, anything other than throw it out, it doesn't cure whatever it is. It's an E. coli that's a fairly dangerous one. I don't know if you know this, but I mean, when I was growing up. We did in biology, we studied E. coli, but that was the early version. That was the non-mutant version. And you could touch it and eat it and everything. But now it's been mutated, you know, so much that...
E. coli cookies back then.
Well, exactly. That's right.
Well, this area was mostly in the Midwest and the Northwest, where this contaminated spinach could have been. So thank goodness it wasn't down here in South Florida where we are, but...
Why? Are you a big spinach eater?
I like spinach. I do.
I do, too. As a matter of fact, I do.
I like salads and lasagna.
Zeiss makes me so strong like Popeye.
All right.
All right, let's move on. Okay, let's move on. We got a few more minutes here before the break, so let me move on to the... then we're going to have to stretch over the break on this one.
All right. The Senate bill.
The Senate bill has decided, and I've seen this before, this is might be called the Byrd bill for all I know, because the guy's been in Congress for 50 years, the ex-Ku Klux Klan Grand Dragon.
That's right, Byrd.
Senator Robert Byrd from West Virginia, and of course all the ports they have in West Virginia. Anyway, they want to inspect all of the cargo.
And this is all of the cargo.
All of the. Now,
not 5%
like they've been doing. Right. Now, I believe that currently they do about 5% visual. In other words, they actually open it up and go inside. And of course, it's like going inside of a big moving van that's packed solid,
right?
With stuff that weighs tons.
And unless you're pulling everything out on the dock, you're not really seeing what's in there.
No, that's right. So everybody's worried about a dirty bomb. And this brings up something.
Or a clean bomb.
Any bomb.
That's what I'm worried about.
I see that.
I don't care about
like
a dirty bomb.
Properly made bomb.
Exactly.
That's right. Well, it is interesting to see how many shows are on TV these days about that. All of the 24 and the new IM5 or MI5 and all this is about people blowing up bombs.
It's hot topic, and it's what people are interested in, and it's what people are fearful of.
Well, and this brings up a very interesting point, and Jimmy is probably out on a limb on this one, but this is why I would say that they should disband all port inspections and disband the TSA and refund the money. And we'll still be better off protected. Again, it's a cost-benefit analysis. What's it costing? How do you say, for instance, well, we haven't had a terrorist attack in 5 years? Yeah, okay. And what's your point? Right. Don't get me wrong. Twin Towers coming down, big expense, 3,000 people and so forth. But again, 54,000 people a year die, not to mention the cars that get smashed. I would guess that the loss to the economy on the car accidents every year is far outweighs... what happened to Twin Tower?
All right, so tell us again, disband.
Well, I got something to add to this, is that if you try to inspect everything, you're going to have the corruption like you have right now with people loading the, you know, you're going to have mafia and whatever union people that are totally corrupted, and you're just going to have, you'll be able to get anything you want in as long as you know who you're talking to.
It's not what you know, it's who you know.
That's exactly right.
Well, that is the world.
Well, one of the things that you realize is that when the government creates distortions, and the same thing happened, for instance, in the drug trade, they banned, it turned out that marijuana was too big and heavy, so they switched to cocaine. Cocaine even got to be too big and heavy, so now they go do crack. And this is the way it's headed. I would venture to say that if there had been no
drug war,
drug laws, drug czar, whatever it is, that we would still be smoking weak marijuana. And that would be, do you have any, by the way?
Sticks and stems.
If you have any out there, the listening audience, I would do it all right now.
That's right. Well, listen, we're coming up on a break. We got a break here in about 30, 45 seconds.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, when we come back, we'll take a little bit about this, and then we're going to also talk about more about Congress and Congress expanding FEMA. Mm-hmm. Another thing that they're going to do, this, again, cost benefit, and they this is all we need. As typical as is the case, as is typical case, when Congress passes a bad law, their solution is always another bad law. And they have their solution to the problem.
To solve the first bad law.
To solve the problem that they created, and they're gonna pass another problem that is going to create yet more. Then that's job security.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to talk about the wiretapping, too, coming up.
The wiretapping.
We got
some light notes at the end, but we'll get to that. Okay, we'll see you in just a few minutes. FEMA for a few minutes. I guess in the last couple of days here, they decided to go crazy.
Have they?
The House is, they're doing the wire to GOP has decided to want to wiretap everybody in sight. And they want to expand FEMA, which of course has done such a bang up job.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the next hurricane comes through, I guess we're in big trouble. Either going to carpet bomb us with money or not.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't know. Anyway, this is
hoping for the money.
Hoping for the money. That's right. Well, I'd like to get some of mine. I don't know for sure. At any rate, this is just typical again of what Congress is doing. And as we've often said, when the Congress is in session or when the legislature is in session, nobody's life, liberty, or property is safe. Mm-hmm. And this is exactly the case. Anyway, so we've moved on. Let's move on a little bit to another item that I've got on my list here. Again, no specific order. I noticed that the the BlackBerry.
Mm-hmm.
Now what was this? Somebody left a BlackBerry.
All right, the story is somebody left a BlackBerry on a plane.
Now this is the electronic type.
That's right.
Yeah,
this is a phone. You know, PDA.
Not a little berry. And of course.
That's right.
They decided to reroute the plane because no one would claim the BlackBerry.
Right.
Turns out it was left by somebody on the previous flight. So, oops.
This dovetails with the story that said that a lot of the newly banned substances, or the chapstick and all the other stuff that's so dangerous, is getting through like crazy. And so,
what are they going to do? Hold you up by your feet and shake you? I mean,
don't rule out anything.
Right. Right. Right.
Seriously. Yeah. I mean, if they're going to strip search nursing grandmothers, certainly breastfeeding nursing grandmothers, they have no qualms about making you do something embarrassing.
Right.
Anyway, the point is that these guys are ineffectual. I mean, when you, again, the cost benefit analysis, when you think that you have to get there an hour early, especially some guy in business, a business guy that's making $100 an hour, and there's like, I don't know, 500,000 of these guys flying every day, do the math. It's like $1 billion or something, a couple of billion dollars just waiting in line, lost productivity.
Right.
Just because these guys, and they don't care.
Right.
I mean, you know, I have not flown since then. Excuse me, that is not true. I have not flown since
9/11?
No, I have not flown since the new restrictions went in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a little nervous about it. I mean,
I have.
And?
Yeah, no, it sucked because you couldn't bring water on the plane.
That to me is unbelievable.
And all those store owners are having issues because they can't sell, you know, anything.
Here's the unbelievable part.
And are you safer? And they've taken a survey. Right. Are you safer because of this? And the universal answer is no.
Right. Well, I personally thought I was going to pass out from dehydration because we're down here in Florida. You're sitting on the tarmac for, you know, an hour in a little tiny plane that's the size of a pack of gum. And they have no AC. And you're dying. And so, heat stroke.
That's true. Well, mm-hmm. I did notice that on at least on one of the planes out here, they did run out a Walmart special air conditioner out there. It's running about 5,000 BTU, enough to cool off your closet, and they use that for the entire plane.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it actually blows some air in there.
Right.
But the fact is, yes, you are dehydrated, mm-hmm. and thank you so much. I mean, these guys are, the point is, they can't, this is the gang that can't shoot straight.
No. It's the Keystone Cops. The whole crazy thing about this to me is that I will bet you that the people who planned to blow up whatever airlines using liquid explosives never had any liquid explosives. I bet they didn't have any containers. I bet they didn't have any ingredients or even any recipes for any liquid explosives. It would be as if they announced, I'm going to blow up this plane with bombs made out of my clothes. And so the inspector said, well, everybody take your clothes off. We're putting you in an orange suit.
Of course, you know that. What's right, in orange suit. Well, then, of course, somebody would smuggle in the official orange suit that's laced with
why not?
C4, right?
That's right.
The point is that the market, and I can understand why the airlines don't want to take it over, because then, in other words, there'd be some liability, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But I would imagine that Congress could say, look, we're going to dump the TSA, and oh, by the way, the airlines are no more liable. If the plane blows up, you're on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And I would guess that would fix the problem in about a minute. I mean, look, every single passenger would be looking around saying, woo, I don't know about that. And the pilots, again, this is so much different from so many things. The pilots have to fly the plane. And I'm guessing, unless you end up with some that guy, Egyptian suicide pilot guy, you know, most of the time the pilots are going to be very careful about who's going to get on the plane. And that would be it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would have, I can guarantee you that you would have the gold card scanner, whatever, something like that, so that you could zing through there. And
preferred customer.
Sure. They would do all that stuff. Retina scans. A lot of the stuff that you would think would be high tech would come on board in a hurry because mm-hmm. the private market. The market system would figure it out. And this is, again, is in systemic, endemic, whatever you want to call it, of governments. They only deal with what they know today, and they project what, as things are today, shall they be for 10,000 years in the future, exactly. And we're going to base all our plans on that. And never, and if things change, then, well, I don't know. Well, and then maybe, I don't know. And this is, I don't know. And this comes up with the next article that I want to talk about, and that is the DDT. And I don't know if I pass this along to you, but the World Health Organization has, surprise, surprise, has said, you know, gosh, I guess DDT is okay to spray around in Africa.
Now, DDT, for those not, that's the mosquito killing
right.
spray.
That's
airborne. They use to fly planes over spraying.
Well, again,
it was in that Joni Mitchell song or.
Yeah. Well,
they used to spray our city. They used to spray us with this stuff.
Right.
They would fly over your neighborhood.
Right.
Many different states.
That explains
and
a lot.
That does.
Well, we have to.
The six-armed boy down on the corner. But this used to be common practice, but now. So now what are they saying about it?
Well, here's the deal. DDT was invented, I think, about around the Second World War, maybe a little bit before, and it was used
as a pesticide.
And it
made the shells on the birds' eggs
well,
soft.
Well, they think it did.
They
anyway,
think it did, right.
Rachel Carlson, 1962, published a book called Silent Spring, which basically... 2 years later, I think, was the responsibility for banning of DDT.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out that the way it's supposed to be used is if you spray it on your walls instantaneously, it's like kryptonite to mosquitoes. I mean, they as soon as they land on it, they fall right off. Dead, D-E-D-D.
That's right.
So, of course, what happened was, since it was such an effective pesticide, it got overused. Yes, okay. And as you say, they started spraying it everywhere. Well, it turns out that one of the proponents for reinstating DDT goes around, gives lectures all over the country, and he drinks the stuff on stage. And I am serious. He says, this is how dangerous it is to humans. Now,
what a genius.
All right, here goes.
DDT on the rocks with a twist.
That's right. And so.
That's some good DDT.
That's right. Yeah. I think that's a 74.
That's a 74 DDT.
So it doesn't hurt us. But
it did apparently. Maybe it did hurt the bald eagles, whatever, because they would eat the fish. And then the shells on their birds, their little fledglings, whatever. And so
it was a pretty tenuous connection.
It was tenuous at best. But again, it was like muckrakers. It was like Ida Tarbell during the big oil baron or the what's her name who did Uncle Tom's Cabin. And these books changed the world. And A Silent Spring, Rachel Carlson was one of them. Anyway, 30 years. It's been 30 years. WHO, World Health Organization, finally has decided. Gosh, you know, maybe DDT would be okay to spray around in Africa because of malaria. It turns out that I could be wrong on this, but I think that malaria is the number one killer.
It kills millions of people.
Millions of people. I mean, it makes Darfur look like a birthing place. I mean, it's a, you know,
it's a maternity war.
That's right. It makes Darfur look like a maternity war.
That's
exactly.
Right. Okay.
So the point is,
for all our listeners in Darfur, we apologize.
That's right.
Reference.
Yeah, right. All the computers. Have you seen pictures of Darfur recently? Yeah, you can see that. Right. Right. They have their cell phones are made out of sand.
Fiber optic.
That's right.
That's right.
So anyway, the deal is that after 30 years and probably 200 million deaths because of malaria. Be a wild guess. I'm certainly not an order of magnitude off. They've said, oh, this is okay. Your government's the typical government's in action. I mean, this is phenomenal. One of the things that it turns out, of course, the way they did it was they banned the manufacture of DDT here, at least in the United States. And then I think the UN, in all its great humanitarian ways of doing things, also said if you want to be a member of the UN, I think there was something along this. They had the DDT committee, and they didn't get paid but about $300,000 to $400,000 for each one of those guys to keep on banning DDT and have DDT studies. And so anyway, the World Health Organization now has said they think it's okay in Africa that the bald eagles can die. That the mosquitoes can die. It's okay to have thin eggs in Africa.
So it's only cost 20 or 30 million people dying
exactly.
Since the initiation.
At minimum. There's 2 million a year from malaria that die, not to mention the ones that recover that are sicker than dogs for I don't know how long. And even if you take quinine or whatever it is that they, you know, you shoot up to semi-cure it, I mean, you know, that's expensive as hell. And DDT is like so cheap. It costs nothing to make. And it's certainly way out of patent and
cost benefit analysis.
That's right. Anyway, that's my take.
Your tax dollars at work.
Did you hear this thing? So moving on here, did you hear this thing about the sixth grade girls the other day? What they're going to require?
Can you imagine? Now, are you 12 in the sixth grade?
Preteen, yeah.
Preteen.
Okay.
So now they're going to be required by law.
That's right.
To have a vaccination against STDs
In
the state of Michigan. But I mean, hello.
Setting a precedent.
Well, apparently there is an out, so to speak. The parents can.
They can opt out.
For religious reasons.
But I wonder how difficult it is to opt out. I mean, I wonder what you have to go through, how much paperwork you have to file, whether you have to come up with a substantial reason or not. I mean, this to me smacks of invasion of privacy.
No.
No, I'm serious.
No,
I'm serious.
Just a little.
No, I'm serious.
Let me just mention here, if for purposes of this report, we're going to come up on our break here in about 30 seconds.
Yeah. No, we're not.
We're not going to come up on a break. Well, we're saying we're going to come up on a break.
We'll play some
music. We'll play a little music.
Just to make sure that this fits into the broadcast format. Anyway, mm-hmm. We want to talk a little bit more about that, and then we'll move on to pedophilia, we're going to move on to the next subject.
That's right.
Which,
Russia, China.
You're giving it away.
I gave away the surprise.
God almighty.
I was trying to remind
you. I'm not going to talk about that. I'll get back in a few minutes. play some dumb bumper music.
This is what Russia and China are going to be listening to on the moon.
Now they're making movies in old black and white. Happy ending where nobody fights. So if you find yourself in that nostalgia grade, honey, jump right up and show your age. I wish I had a pencil and mustache, the Boston Blackie kind, a two-tone Ricky Ricardo jacket, and an autographed picture of Andy Devine. Buck-tooth and skinny, writing fan letters, sky's deep, and I wish I had a pencil and mustache, then I could solve some mysteries too. Then it's bandstand, Disneyland, growing up fast, drinking on a fake ID. Yeah, Rama of the jungle was everyone's for one of us. Musicians with smoking marijuana, yeah. Wish I had a pencil and mustache, and I could solve some mysteries too.
Let's go back.
Serious Podcast, Eddie.
We're back. This is, by the way, for anybody that is just tuning in, this is the Jimmy Don't Joe.
That's right.
Live, right, as we speak. It's Saturday, 3:33, 33:34 p.m. something. Hello.
Saturday, September 16th.
Okay, mm-hmm. good. And we got Jack Rhodes.
Jack Rhodes is here.
And Counselor Curtis.
Hey. Mm-hmm.
And who are you?
I don't know.
Eric.
I came in a gaming place.
And of course, the Jimmy Doan Show. Look us up online at jimmydoan.com.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I've got this AOL open. I don't know if it's going
to
work. I don't use it.
If somebody is listening to us out there, you can send us an IM at Jimmy Doan Show.
At AOL.
Well, or if you're on AOL, you said a Jimmy Doan Show. Yeah, that's your instrument.
Is it supposed to just come up here and say?
Probably.
And Doan is D-O-A-N-E.
And, yeah. Or an email at jimmy@jimmydoan.com.
Well, I have my email turned off.
Okay.
So anyway, no, we have a limited bandwidth here, folks.
Right.
Until we get our own T1 line and a Blade server, you know, if it will hit the donate button, all we need now, let me tell you,
if you need to win one of those on eBay.
Well, that's one thing we could do, but if we could, if George Soros is listening,
mm-hmm. Sorry,
he
George.
Can make a $1 billion donation through PayPal and we'll be able to get our.
We do have a donate button on the show now.
That's right.
On the website.
That's right. PayPal accepted.
PayPal's accepted.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Visa, MasterCard, whatever else you want.
Cash.
Oh. Yeah.
Cash and a birthday card, just send it on.
Well, no, that's unfortunate. Fortunately, we're not giving our address away. Or fortunately, we're not. For obvious reasons, we're not giving them. What we do is the address we give, because we know what's going to happen, is one of our enemies.
Right. Blast the right.
That's right. And because we know what's going to happen when that card or package gets opened up.
Right.
And, we don't want to be within, I would say, safely a 50-mile radius of any address.
Send our mail to 1600 Pennsylvania Boulevard.
That's right. Boulevard, right. okay, and you can get away with that. Okay, and the Secret Service and wiretapping.
Right.
And
the other thing
is we're supposed to say for satellite, for the people listening in, Osama terror bomb.
No.
Now, Alski. It's gray on the outgray.
Okay, well, so anyway, the...
Let's get into it.
Russia, China.
Well, this comes
moon.
on the tail of the India moon.
That's right.
That was our...
come again.
Well, they were going to put the quickie mart on the moon.
That's right.
So were they going to put a fast food takeout for the Chinese, I guess, on the...
Yeah, Chinese takeout.
Chinese takeout, that's right. Or a
they're boosting up their
their cooperation. As you know, we Bill Clinton, when he did it, of course, gave them a lot of the technology for their rockets. The Chinese
mm-hmm.
and the Russians regularly in the tourist agency business these
That's
days
right.
for $20 million or whatever it is.
Fly to the moon.
For $20 million they take you up into orbit. And
leave you there.
They'll drop you off on the way, right?
Yeah, that's right.
You jump out. Go for it.
And so I guess
you could probably get into space a lot cheaper. It's just the return ticket's a pricey one.
That's right.
It's $5 million to get there, but it's $15
to come back. Home,
right. Reminds me of the
old
days.
I'll take a pound trip.
When I could,
be like that dog Lakia or whatever, Russian one.
That's right.
Still up there.
Right.
Frozen canine.
And preserved well.
Yes, preserved very well.
No oxygenation, or what do you call it? Oxidation.
The oxidation.
No decay of the.
Still hasn't found a tree to relieve himself on.
Doesn't really matter.
It's a herb,
and I would imagine she's kind of dehydrated at this point.
Okay.
All right. So
I had a point here. You guys got me off track.
No.
It's hard to believe.
You're so hard to do that.
Yeah, I know. Right.
You're like a train.
Senior moment. Right.
Well, like a train. That's right.
There goes Jimmy.
Jimmy train.
Well, you know, that would indicate that I have a one-track mind, which I do.
Right.
But not going to be mentioned on the air.
Oh,
exactly. And so, no, it's
not podcasts.
It is as though Jimmy were coming into the Chicago, the Chicago train station
Chicago
with
station.
400 tracks to choose from.
Right.
And no idea where he's going. Okay. The deal was, though, the satellites, we're talking about satellites going to the moon and
Russia, China, India.
Well, they wanted to get there first, right? They wanted to start.
That was the point.
Mm-hmm.
NASA, you remember, like last week, this is the week for announcing your space programs. As you know, 2 weeks ago, NASA said, oh, we're going to go to the moon. We're going to send up our Mars.
Right. Orion, whatever it is,
in 2014 or 15, they're going to send up the test shot with the dogs or monkeys or whatever. And then and then they're figuring they'll make the trip
or
by 2020.
Right.
And here are the both
with their Apollo 5 on steroids or whatever.
Right. And right. Exactly. Exactly. The point being that they've announced this, and the Russians and the India people are saying, well, we're going to be done by then.
Right.
And of course, my philosophy in this was, we've been to the moon, you know, been there, done that.
Right.
Let's sell NASA and move on.
Let's sell the moon.
Our flag's already there.
Yeah, somebody's already selling the moon.
Well, that's true.
Mm-hmm. There's a website out there you can buy a piece of moon real estate.
Yeah, well, of course.
Great view of Earth.
Good. Watch the Earth rise.
Or if you, for a lesser price, you can have no view of Earth.
Ever.
Let me ask you this.
So what happens if you take a .30-06 up there and shoot it at the Earth? What happens?
You go to jail.
That's right. That's probably a criminal offense.
Right.
I would guess.
Hey, yeah, look at that one. Woo! Now it'll come back down unless you'd have to have a mighty big gun.
Well, the thing about it is that with the moon's gravitational pull,
atmosphere.
Well, no atmosphere. So if you fire it horizontally, do you get hit in the back of the head?
I don't know.
That's like the Bugs Bunny baseball.
That's right.
Could you even fire a gun and no atmosphere?
Oh, yeah.
It's all self-contained.
It's self-contained.
That's right. Okay, we're moving along.
But I thought the best way to do it, that would China and Russia and whoever else, India, they just go up there and bring our stuff back and sell it on eBay.
Can you imagine?
Would Jay Leno, would he sell his entire auto collection for a lunar rover?
Oh, my God. Oh, no. I mean, that would be... No, Christie's, Sotheby's, Auction House, Jay Leno.
How about Shepard's?
I've got 140 cars. I want to sell them tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
That's right. Put out the ad.
Right.
This is the Lagonda, the only known Lagonda on the planet. Mm-hmm. Everything else is on the block. Right. So dump it, because I'm having the lunar rover. And what I'd like to do is to put some smiley stickers on it when I get it. I don't know.
How about Al Shepard's golf balls?
Oh, my God.
Tiger Woods, maybe. Did those.
Oh, my God. I mean, can you imagine?
It would be worth more than Barry Bonds' 756.
Oh, my. Well, I mean, that would be. Who hit the golf ball?
Al Shepard.
Is he still around?
No.
So it's hard to get it autographed.
Yeah.
Okay. That's too bad.
Not impossible, but hard.
Well, anybody else up there that even touched the golf ball that you could get an autograph?
But you could get an autographed Jack Schmidt. I believe Jack Schmidt's still around. A Gene Cernan rover.
Okay.
Yeah, so, there are three rovers on the moon. There's six flags.
Yes, I think they're still there, Jack.
They probably need batteries, but...
Yeah, I would imagine. And I would imagine the batteries are pricey.
Yeah.
But
you could probably swap it out with a third party markup. You know, somebody probably.
Oh yeah, no doubt. That's a big item on the list. Let's clone the lunar battery. Right. So there'll be a lot of call for that.
How about when the president of China comes over and hands our president, here's your flag back. Here's your flag. We brought it back for you. We put ours back up. We put ours instead.
That's right. It's not waving in the no breeze.
In no breeze.
That's right.
Here's your coal hanger tool. You know where to stick it.
That's right. They had to put the flag up where the coat
hanger
so it looked like it would
wave. And then
of course there's a plaque up there that's signed by Richard Nixon or something.
Right. Absolutely.
It says hi. You know, we made it.
Come to the moon.
And so you can bring that back in pieces.
We won.
Well, that's right.
I want to tell you, I am not a crook.
I am not a crook.
But they can put the new plaque up there in Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
And so that'll be good.
Yep.
Okay, well that's exciting news. And what's amazing to me, the whole reason for this little bit.
There was a point.
We've been there, done that, and it's going to take us longer to do that again than it is these newbies,
right?
Than the probies that are going to go up there they're going to be back before we get our first.
NASA's got almost a couple new inbox Saturn V's laying around that you can use.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Call on me. I want one. I want one.
Yeah. eBay.
No, well, eBay, that's right. Well, they sold off their silos.
Yeah.
So, you know, why not sell off a couple of rockets to go in them?
Yep.
Or out of them or something.
So the space race is on again.
Yes. Well, I mean, obviously, we've already declared ourselves a loser. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, you know, how... This shows you what happens with bureaucracies across the board. And this is why Ludwig von Schneider, whatever, Mises, whatever, wrote the book called wrote the book
Look
called...
Look that name up there.
That's right. Wrote the book called Bureaucracy, which describes this stuff. But the one I like the best was written by C. Northcote, for those of you listening, C. Northcote Parkinson. Wrote a book in the mid-50s, and it was called The Law. And you've heard of Parkinson's Law. What is Parkinson's Law? It is work expands to fill the time available. And the...
And money rises to eat in...
Money. Let's see. No, income
rises to meet expenditures and then some.
Well, for the government and then
right.
some. There is never enough money for the government. It doesn't matter what. If Bill Gates came into if Bill Bates mm-hmm. rode into town tomorrow and
rice hockey boy.
That's right. If he thank you hanger dogs for your top notch. Yeah?
Top notch.
That's right. That's Hanger Dogs podcast.
Right.
For those of you who
don't know enough.
That's right.
A lot of inside jokes going on here.
But just keep listening, it'll make sense.
We're going to post it in a few weeks.
Or not.
Okay. We're going to post all this on the Jimmy Doan website anyway.
That's right. Frequently asked questions.
Frequently, yeah.
But the fact of the matter is you could give, they're spending $18 billion over whatever this huge amount of time, you know, 10, 15 years or 14 years. And, you know, as I say with people in my work, give Bert Rutan one-tenth that money and see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. Well, again... The market, just don't spend the money
right.
and let private imagination
exactly
take wing
right.
here. It's yeah, that's right.
Take
Oops.
Flight.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, take wing. Okay. Okay, and
all right.
The show's dead. Let's go to dead air.
There it is.
That's right. Do we have anything else to talk about?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Hear about this rare coin dealer that they busted now?
Well...
Apparently gave hundreds of thousands of dollars
He gave a ton of money to the campaign. Of course, they busted him. The Bush campaign.
Bush campaign.
His presidential campaign. What he did is he had all his relatives. We've done this before. This is actually the way it used to be done all the time. They come around. They want the campaign. It turns out there's a maximum you can give per person.
Right. So
and
you find 55 friends.
55
you
buddies. And you give them all,
well,
you give
say,
them all, well, it's 2,000 or whatever it is. You give them all 2,000 cash. They write a check.
That's
and
right.
then you want
me.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
Yeah, checks in the mail.
Yeah.
I sent it in.
Well, yeah. I can tell you from personal experience the way it works. They come around and collect the check.
They collect the check.
They hand you.
Wait, you remember that 2,000 I gave you last week? Well, I'm here.
No. They don't even do that. That's why God made two hands. You see, they're waving the 2,000 in this hand, mm-hmm. and this hand is waiting for the check.
Right.
And the transfer takes
right.
place.
Simultaneous
transfer. No, trust me on that. And then, of course,
they touch the bill in the center as it goes hand to hand.
That's right. That's right. And so the...
All right, so this rare coin dealer, how did they find out about him?
I don't know, but
someone turned him in.
Somebody turned him in, and he's going to jail.
Right.
For this. This is for.
That's right.
He's so going to jail
some
for.
Democrat
for
obviously turned
and
him.
It turns out that this is a classic case. Free speech is not free anymore, that kind of thing.
Right.
I mean, they should. This is McCain with Feingold, whatever it is.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk about that in detail at some point, McCain Feingold campaign contributions, because it's portending some pretty scary stuff for the upcoming election.
Oh, as a matter of fact, they've already passed a deadline, haven't they? It's 60 days. Yes. They've already passed the deadline on some of this stuff.
The deadline being if we right now endorse a candidate.
Watch this.
if any news person.
I want Hillary.
Yeah. Whoop.
Hillary. That was
Shrillery.
Endorses a candidate, they can count the value of the endorsement as a campaign contribution.
Well, but I'm wondering if this works like the stock market in that our endorsement would be negative. And I wonder if they could weigh that against
Jimmy's
the positive.
Endorsement, you mean?
Yeah, Jimmy's endorsement. Yeah, right, exactly. Jimmy's endorsement would be a negative. And it's like the stock market where you can balance your capital gains with your capital losses and come out, sort of. So if I endorse a candidate, that counts for two positive endorsements on the other end, I guess.
Right, right.
I'm guessing that's not true.
Negative Jimmy.
That's right. Well, people...
The Jimmy factor.
You consider the source. I mean,
right.
Why do you think that people read the newspaper here in Gainesville? They publish the campaign contributions. And it's in this little tiny print. It'll say so-and-so, and they list all the people.
That's right. On page 22.
On page 22. But I'll tell you, I'll bet you that that list is the most read thing in the newspaper. I mean, people get out their magnifying glasses.
Looking for the neighbor.
They're looking for the neighbor to find out who contributed to these various candidates.
That's right.
And that tells them which one either to vote for or not vote for. Think about it. When you drive around town, what do you see in the yard? Do you see anything about anybody's platform? No, you see yes or no with a line through it.
No on four.
That's, you know, right. You see a circle with a line through it and no on four. Mm-hmm. Or you see, or it'll just say
Bobby. I can't believe that actually works, but
you have to go with success. There was a recent article in today's paper, yesterday's paper, David Flagg, one of our local guys here, who's been in and out of politics, and I think he's over at Santa Fe Community College now, but he wrote a letter, and he says, let's get the negative politics, negative campaigning, let's dispense with negative campaign. Good luck. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just ain't going to happen.
It's effective.
That's the reason. It's effective. And it always happens. It's one of the reasons that they passed McCain-Feingold. They wanted the 60-day or 30-day or whatever it is limitation.
Now, let's be clear. They passed McCain-Feingold to have more control over who gets to donate what. Anytime somebody monkeys with campaign contributions, it's always an effort to control the flow of the cash, where they really don't have to worry about it. I just asked Steve Forbes or Ross Perot,
right,
the billionaires who tried to buy it. It doesn't work. You have to have some substance behind your campaign or you're not going to get elected.
Some, anyway.
Some. You got to have something.
Well, I will say this.
You can't have a giant sucking sound.
One of the famous sayings. Right. Well, right. Why not? Oh, I like that. Wait a minute. Ooh, break time. No, the deal is that you're right. You can't buy it. Of course, sometimes they do, and you'll see it, but you can screw up in any event. Of course, the thing is, and I never have understood why a billionaire, in a way, you got to ask yourself, this might be suspect, billionaire buys, spends, you know, 40, 50 million bucks, like Barbara Boxer and these people that are really super rich in the Senate, and they buy their way in, and for what? I mean, really, seriously, you would be better off, it seems to me, and they talk about public service, but you'd be better off, you know, taking your vacation. Let's travel around the world, have a good time, meet people.
Well, they're doing good, Jimmy.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
out there to do good for people.
Well, the only saving grace, I guess, is that there is a
constitution.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's why I've been listening to your con law tapes. And that guy, the guy that's talking about that is really funny. He talks about this is the way it was meant to be, but it on the test, you'll answer it this way. We all know it's a big pile of crap. It doesn't actually work that way. But this is the answer you'll have to give.
Hey, you know, this brings up a question that we had from one of our listeners, Brandon.
Okay.
Brandon sent in a question to us, a very frequently asked question. That is, if you're not doing anything wrong in society, how come you don't...
Or anything wrong at all.
How come it's not okay for the police to come and search your home?
Well, I think the way this sometimes is phrased is, why would you object to this law if you're not doing anything wrong?
Right. Why would you object to a police search if you're not doing anything wrong?
Right.
Okay, here's my answer, Brandon. This is Counsel Curtis here, so this legal advice is worth exactly what you pay for it. The first question...
There's the donate button.
Yeah, right. I'm going to phrase my answer in the form of a question. My first question would be, do you trust the government? Okay. If your answer is no, you don't trust the government, then you're on board with us. We understand. You understand. And you're not worried about it. If the answer is yes, you trust the government to do these investigations and such, then the next question I have for you is, why do we even need trials? Why have a trial? Why does the government have to prove anything? If the police are out there just doing good and just busting criminals, why do we have to have any check on them at all? Why a jury of the peers? Why not just let them arrest who they believe to be bad and prove it to themselves and then sentence that person?
Prove it to themselves.
It's pretty good proof. And if your answer is, look, okay, we don't need trials, okay, well, then we can go straight to autocracy, which is a much more efficient system. I mean, we can go straight to the people at the top, the people who you trust in charge, commanding everything, and all of us just obeying because they're doing it for our own good. All right, now, if you're not on board with that, okay, because you understand that government are made of men have flaws, and one of the great flaws is that power corrupts even good people, then you understand why we have to have trials. We need the government to prove the case against you at a trial. All right, now, you still may be thinking, well, What about the investigation? Perhaps the investigation they could have a lot of leeway on. Why do the police need a warrant to go search your home? Why not just let them come on in? They're just suspecting criminals, right? Well, you got to ask yourself, should you let them just come in and bust a few heads? Break some furniture there? Is that okay?
But what if they promise not to do that? They promise to be nice.
Well, and only to the criminals is the point.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you know, it's only to the criminals. I mean, who cares if
you're a criminal, we're going to hold you up by your shirt collar and go get right in your face like that guy on SVU, you know,
right.
and scream and holler and say, you did it, you know, that kind of stuff.
And
but if you're not
you
a criminal,
hopes.
We won't do that.
Right, exactly.
So because we know in advance.
Right. Exactly. Well, you should see the flaws in the logic there, and you should recognize that even police investigations need to have some safeguards. Now, the safeguards are very low. Let me tell you, there's a standard out there called articulable suspicion, and it is just what it sounds, articulable suspicion. It means they have to articulate what their suspicion is. That's the standard for giving you a pat down. They can't just come over and say, well, that guy, I didn't like that guy, so I patted him down for weapons or I arrested him because I didn't like him. They have to tell you why the guy was suspicious.
And, of course, it can't be because you were a good-looking girl or black.
You can't say he had a green shirt on, so I searched him. It has to be he had a green shirt on with some blood on it or something.
I see.
And they have to have some reason.
He had a big bulge in his pants, and okay. I needed to...
So, Brandon, I hope I answered your question. If you don't trust the government, which you shouldn't because they're made of people, you understand the separation of powers argument. That is to say, the people who make the laws are not going to be the same ones who enforce it. Therefore, you divide up the power, and that safeguards us all from anybody getting too much power.
Well,
right?
Supposedly. But, of course, again, earlier in the show, we touched on this about the GOP. Again, it's not a law yet, but the big fight right now for the last couple of days that these guys are in office, or in Congress, excuse me, before they go out campaigning in Washington, D.C., is they're trying to eliminate executive wiretapping warrants where the guy who's actually going to do the wiretapping says, okay, it's okay by me to do it.
Right, exactly.
And apparently the GOP is big on this, that they don't think you should have to go to the court.
This blows my mind. As a lawyer, it smacks to me like they don't even understand the separation of powers argument. Like, they believe that Congress can give the president the power to go around the judiciary branch.
Yeah.
It's like, well, how can they even think, how can they even conceive that they could turn that power over to the people who enforce the laws? It's just
and it also doesn't make any sense in another regard, and that is that typically the two of the branches in here are always fighting for supremacy.
All three, in theory, all three of them fight for power.
Well, the supposedly, at least at founding, it was my understanding that the judiciary is supposed to be the weakest branch.
Well, it wasn't until Marshall got in there.
Well, that's true. It didn't take long.
No.
And that's true. No, but the deal is that they're always talking about usurpation of somebody, you know, this branch is this and this branch is that. Well, of course, the GOP, I don't understand this, why they would want to give the president the ability, or supposedly the ability, to go around the courts and just say, look, we think these are terrorist people and we're going to wiretap the brains out of
them.
They
want to give them the power to bust a few heads to get the information because they're convinced that they need rougher techniques than are available in today's system, which you don't.
This is a classic case is of the, I forget exactly how the saying goes, but the ultimate in security equals slavery. I mean, if you think that if this is all about security, you're doomed. We are doomed. And we are losing our rights at an accelerating pace. And this is a classic case. If they allow executive orders to do wiretapping. Okay, it might be the nicest person today, but tomorrow
somebody else will move in.
That's right. they'll certainly see this.
I think there's an opening in this office. Maybe
right.
We should run Heil.
Adolf,
that's right. So that's what's happening. And if you think out there as a libertarian, I'm telling you right now that if you think that this is not coming down the pike, you're crazy. I mean, this is a scary part. And this is one of the things that the Jimmy Don Show likes to do, is to point this stuff out, because I'm not sure what all you can do about it except for stock up on Sam Andy.
You can write to Congress people and tell them.
Yeah, weapons.
I mean, really, we need to get
picket weaponry
here as one of our sponsors and see if we can't start to get ourselves a gun permit. I always wanted one of those Tommy guns with the round magazine.
Yeah, right, the big barrel guns.
Oh, man, those are great.
How long we got until break?
We got about a minute here until our break. So let me just mention a couple of things we're going to talk about when we come back. We got another hour to go.
Mm-hmm.
This will be the end of the first hour.
Oh,
moving into the second hour.
And we're going to move into the second hour after this next break. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about, we haven't talked about the environmental stuff.
That's right.
And that's the...
The melting Arctic ice.
Yeah, well, that's not all. There's more
to
it.
I got something to say about that.
And
the green cars.
That's right. Green cars do damage.
Immigration raid.
Yeah, that I want to talk about because we Patty down in Ocala, of course.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. So anyway, let's go ahead and take a break.
Okay.
For about a minute, and we'll be back.
Who let the dog in?
Who let the dogs out?
Hey, this is Engineer Eric from the Jimmy Doan Show, and you just listened to part one of our September 16th podcast.